بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. Today we're reading from Lessons in Arabic Language, Book 3, Dr. Fahd Abd Rahim, Islamic University of Medina, Arabic Language Institute. And this is the Level 1, first half of Medina Book 3. And this is the first lesson, Ad-Dars Al-Awwal, dealing with Al-I'rab Wal-Bina, yani concerning the nouns and verbs which endings change or are fixed. They are declinable or non-declinable in reference to nouns and in reference to verbs. And we mentioned in the first two sessions a number of things, all of it related to nouns. And we're going to complete the information related to nouns in this session today, بإذن الله تعالى. And then the last part of the lesson, which is relatively brief, is the معرب and the مبني من الأفعال, يعني الإعراب والبناء في الأفعال. So, just a quick overview of what we have covered in the first two sessions. And again, as I said, most of it was dealing with nouns, or all of it was dealing with nouns. The subject of al-i'rab and al-bina, yani nouns that are mu'rab, their endings change or decline, yani their case ending changes from being marfu'un to mansub to majrur, and those nouns which are mabniyun, their endings are fixed, they do not decline. They are mabniyun. So we don't say that they are marfu'un or mansub or majrur. We say they are mabniyun, and they are in the place, in the position where they should be, marfu' or mansub or majrur. So the summary of what we said in terms of nouns, we said that nouns are either mu'rab or mabniyun. Mu'rab nouns are nouns where the ending of the word changes, yani the vowel ending changes due to the amil. Yani the word that acts upon it, that changes its ending, the causative agent. So depending on the amil, it could make that noun marfu'un or mansub or majrur. The endings, though, will change from dhamma to fatha to kasra because of the amil. The mabniyun nouns are those nouns, the endings do not change as a result of the amil. They don't change. Okay, then we said the mu'rab, yani in terms of nouns, all nouns are mu'rab. Yani their endings change because of the amil, with the exception of seven groups of nouns. And we mentioned them and we discussed them in detail. We said that they are pronouns of different types. They are asma'al ishara, demonstrative pronouns, al-asma'al mawsula, relative pronouns. And the asma'al ishara and the al-asma'al mawsula, they are mu'rab except, they are mabniyun except the duals from amongst them. The duals from amongst them. We also said, yani, the fourth class of nouns which are an exception to nouns being mu'rab, these are mabniyun, or interrogative words, asma al-istifham, some adverbs, ba'du al-dhuruf, asma al-af'al, yani the ism fi'l, the verb noun, and we said al-a'dad al-murakkaba, yani compound numbers, like the numbers from 11 through 19. We said that they are also mabniyun. This is the exception. Nouns are all mu'rab except these seven categories. And the compound numbers, they are mabniyun except the first part of the number 12. Then we said, we talked about the signs of i'rab. The primary signs of i'rab in nouns are dhamma, fatha, and kasra. Yani when a word is marfu'un, the primary sign of being marfu'un is dhamma. When it's mansub, the primary sign of it being mansub is fatha. And if it's majrur, the primary sign of a noun being majrur is kasra. These are the yani alamat al-i'rab al-asliya in nouns. Then we said that nouns, some nouns also have secondary signs, yani alamat al-i'rab al-fara'iyya, and we said that those are five categories of nouns that have secondary signs. Some of them only have a secondary sign in one case, And some of them have secondary signs in all three cases. Yani when they are marfu'un, mansub, and majroor. So from those five, two of them only have a secondary sound in one case. The first of them is jam al-mu'annath as-salim. The sound feminine plural. We said the sign of it being mansub is kasra instead of fatta. That's a secondary sign. The second of them is mamnu' min as-sarf, diptotes. Non-declinable words that don't take tanween. When they are majroor, the secondary sign of them being majroor instead of kasra is fatha. The next three categories of nouns that have secondary signs in all three cases, when they are marfu and mansub and majroor, and those are al-asma al-khamsa, and we talked about them in detail, and this rule of them having secondary signs is only if they are in idafa, and they are in idafa to other than ya al-mutakallim. The last two are jam al-mudhakkar al-salim, it has secondary signs in every case. Al-muthanna, the dual, also has secondary signs in every case. Yani the sound masculine plural, and the dual, and the five nouns, al-asma al-khamsa, they have secondary signs in every case. Then we talked about al-i'rab al-taqdiri, yani the i'rab, in which we don't actually see the sign of i'rab. We don't see the sign of its i'rab. It is mu'rab. The word is mu'rab, but we don't see the sign, the dhamma, the kasra, the fatha. And we said that there are three categories of nouns that have i'rab takdiri, yani in which the sign of i'rab is latent. So we understand it to be dhamma, fatha, kasra, but we don't actually see it. The first of them is maqsoor, al-maqsoor. That is the noun which is mu'rab, but it ends with an essential, yani original part of the word, that is an alif, that's alif lazima. Alif preceded by fatha. It's an essential, it's not an added letter. So words that end with that alif, whether it's alif maqsura, like in al mustashfa or al fata, or alif mamduda, as in asa, when a word ends with an original essential letter that's not added, that's alif preceded by fatha, then it has secondary signs in all three cases, when it's marfu' and mansub and majroor. So we say, if it's majroor, we say that it is majroor. The sign of being majroor is kasra muqaddara. If it's mansub, we say the sign of it being mansub is fatha muqaddara. And if it's marfu' and dhamma muqaddara, and so on. The second type of noun that has takdiri i'rab is the mankus. It's a mu'rab word. It's not mabniun, it's mu'rab. But it ends with an essential ya that's preceded by kasra. An essential ya that's preceded by kasra, as in al-qadi and al-muhami and so on like this. We said that this type of word has taqdiri i'rab in two cases. When it's marfu'un, we said that the sign of being marfu'un is dhamma muqaddara, and when it's majroor, we say the sign of being majroor is kasra muqaddara. However, when it is mansoob, it doesn't have taqdiri i'rab, yani the sign of it being mansub is fatha. It's fatha zahira. We actually see the fatha. We also said that this type of word sometimes loses that ya, that is an essential original part of the word, and there are three cases when it does not lose it. Yani if it has alif lam, it does not lose the ya. When it is mansub, it doesn't lose the ya, and when it is mudaf, it doesn't lose its ya. If it loses the ya, then the i'rab will be yani for marfu and dhamma muqaddara on the ya that has been deleted, ala ya al-mahdufa. And if it's majroor, the same thing, we say it is yani the sign of being majroor is kasra muqaddara ala ya al-mahdufa, on the ya that has been deleted, and so on. And if it was mansub, it won't lose the ya, because that's one of the cases in which the ya is not omitted. The third type of word that has takdiri i'rab in all three cases is al-mudaf ila ya al-mutakallam, yani a noun that is connected in idafa to the first person singular pronoun that corresponds to ana, yani the ya that is always preceded by a kasra, and because of the fact that it must be preceded by a kasra, then we don't see the sign of its i'rab, yani the dhamma or fatha and so on. And we said that this mudaf ila ya al-mutakallam, it has takdiri i'rab in all three cases, when it's marfu'un, mansub, and majrur, we say that it is marfu'un wa alamatu rafihi dhamma muqaddara. When it's mansub, yani alamatu nasbihi fatha muqaddara. And when it is majrur, we say alamatu jarrihi kasra muqaddara. This is what we covered in the previous sessions. We also looked at the charts on page 11, which deal with the primary and secondary signs of i'rab in nouns, and the charts on page 12, which deal with the i'rab taqdiri, and finally, yani sentences in which we see all of these signs, yani in the same sentence, alama asliya and alama far'iyya and alama zahira and alama muqaddara, all of this together. That was also on page 12, and then on page 13 and 14, we had exercises. On page 13 and 14, last week we went through the exercises, 1 through 10. Okay, I'm just going to take a look, before we go into today's work, I want to take a quick look at the last exercise, the last sentence. Exercise number 10 on page 14, where it says, يعني أعرب ما تحتها خط ما تحته خط, يعني give the i'rab of the words that have a line underneath them. The last question in that exercise number 10, sentence number 10, is أنا محامٍ. أنا محامٍ. Okay, the original word is المحامي, but when it doesn't have alif lam and it's not mansub and it's not mudaf, then it loses its ya, right? So the word محامٍ is originally محامي, but its ya is deleted because it doesn't have alif lam, it's not mansub and it's not mudaf. This sentence is a simple jumla ismiya, mubtada and khabar. Ana muhamin. So ana is the mubtada. It is a pronoun. Pronouns are mabniyun. So we say it is mabniyun fi mahalli raf, in the place where it should be marfu'un. Muhamin is the khabar. Khabar is always marfu'un. So we say muhamin is marfu'un. And the sign of it being marfu'un is dhamma. Primary sign of raf is dhamma. But we don't see the dhamma because the ya, the last letter of the word, has been omitted. And the sign of i'rab is on the last letter of a word. So for that reason, since the last letter is not present, then the sign of i'rab is also not present. And that's why it's taqdir. Yani, it's i'rab taqdiri. So we say it, Muhammad is what? It's khabar. Khabar is marfu'un. The sign of it being marfu'un, alamatu raf'ihi, is dhamma muqaddara. Dhamma muqaddara. Ala al-ya al-mahdhufa. On the ya that has been deleted, omitted, removed. Ala ya al-mahdhufa. Okay, so this is yani what we covered last week. And this is a quick summary of what we covered last week. And with that, we want to go on to complete, yani after those questions, what I'm referring to as the second half of the lesson, not because it's half of the lesson, but because it's after the first set of questions. So this lesson has two sets of exercises. We completed the first set of exercises. Now we're going into the second part of the lesson, which is a completion of al-i'rab and al-bina in reference to nouns, that which relates to nouns. And then the end of the lesson is the mu'rab and the mabni from af'al. And that is a small part of the lesson. Inshallah, we'll complete that today. And it's followed by seven questions, exercises that consist of seven questions. Perhaps, bi'ithnillahi ta'ala, we'll complete all of that today. Okay, so let's go to page 15. This is where we left off at after the questions from last week. Page 15. And for homework, you should have looked at all of these categories of nouns, when they are marfu'un, when they are mansub, and when they are majrur. And as well, you should have looked at at-tawabi', yani those nouns which they share the i'rab of a word that preceded it. Because they are not, or they tawqid, or because they are ma'atuf, or because they are badal. So there are four types of tawabi', and that was part of our homework, to look at the types of tawabi'. Some of that, yani, we've covered previously, and some of it we may have been introduced to, but we'll cover it in detail in the future. After that, we're going to look at the verbs and discuss the mu'rab and the mabniyun from verbs, the signs of i'rab in mudari verb, the primary signs and the secondary signs, which types of mudari verbs have a secondary sign. There are two types, and which type of mudari verb has a takdiri i'rab, and there are three types. So there are five types of mudari verbs that we want to look at. Three of them have i'rab takdiri, and two of them have secondary signs of i'rab. We're going to look at that today, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. So let's complete the nouns, what relates to nouns first. And before we look at the nouns, I want to say that the author, Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, he has mentioned under nouns that are marfu'un, six categories or types of nouns that are marfu'un. Six cases, situations in which a noun is going to be marfu'un. And these are the primary situations in which a noun is marfu'un. Six of them. Then he looks at the situations in which a noun is going to be mansub. And these are the most important primary situations in which a noun is going to be mansub. And he mentioned 11 of them. And thirdly, he mentions the situations in which a noun is majrur. And he mentioned there are two primary situations in which a noun is majrur. And he mentions those with examples. And then he mentions the tawabiya, which examples for all four of the types of tawabiya. And then we go into the verb. So, what I want to say here is that these various types or situations in which a noun is marfu'un or mansub or majrur, some of it we have studied, some of it we have not studied previously. Meaning, some of it we have studied in the Medina course, in level 1 or level 2. And some of it we have not studied yet. Some of it will be studied in this level 3, and some of it will be studied in level 4. So it's not necessary that a person has to comprehend and understand the use or the application of everything that's mentioned here under these situations in which a noun is marfu'un or mansub or majrur. Some of it we have studied, some of it we haven't. So what I'm going to do, just so that people do not become overwhelmed, I'm going to identify those situations when a noun is marfu'un that we've already studied, and those situations in which we have not yet studied. So you will know that if some of this is unfamiliar to you, it's because we haven't studied it yet. And if some of it is unfamiliar to you, yet although we have studied it, then you need to go back to the places where we studied it previously in book 1 or book 2 and refresh your memory. Alright, so I'm going to try to give you a reference for everything that's mentioned here, as wherever it's possible. I'm going to try to give you a reference, an easy reference that you can go back if you need to review any of these matters that we previously studied, or if you want to take a look at a preview of some of the matters that we have not yet studied. Alright, so I'm going to give you some references. You can write them down or you can record the lesson, which is better that you record it so you're not engaged in writing. But if you don't record it, try to write down the points that you don't remember well. If I say we've studied them before, please write down the reference for it. and any points that we haven't studied yet, if you want to take a look at it, just write down the reference for it. Okay, so the first thing we're going to look at, al-marfu'at. We're on page 15, al-marfu'at min al-asma. Yani, the situations in which nouns are marfu'un. In which a noun is marfu'un. So the first one they give us, and they give us examples for each of them, and again, like I said, we're not going to go into any detail here. Some of this we've already studied, so you should already know it. I'll give you a reference. You can go back and review it if you need to. Some of it we haven't yet studied. I'll try to give you the reference where it will be studied in the Medina course, if it's going to be covered in the Medina course in level 3 or 4. But the things that we've studied, you should know them. If you don't know them, you need to go back and review. Okay, so nouns, situations in which nouns are marfu'un, number 1 and number 2, he put them together so that he could use one sentence, al-mubtada'u wal-khabaru. So, al-mubtada and al-khabar, we've seen from lesson 1, we haven't actually had a lesson on al-mubtada and al-khabar. But we've had sentences from book 1, level 1. Book 1, lesson 1. From the first lesson, we had hadha kitabun, that's a mubtada and a khabar. And we used to say, when we were doing book 1, that this is a jumla ismiya, It's composed of a mubtada and a khabar, and yani just a general brief reference to this matter. Mubtada and khabar will be studied in detail in book 3, level 3, lesson 11. We're going to study this in detail, mubtada and khabar. A lot of details related to it, but the simple matters related to mubtada and khabar we should already know, and that is that the mubtada and khabar are the two essential elements of the jumla ismiya. The mubtada is marfu'un, primary sign of a noun being marfu'un is dhamma, and the khabar is marfu'un, the primary sign of a noun being marfu'un is dhamma. So this is something that we should already know. We've seen this type of sentence composed of a mubtada and khabar from book 1, from lesson 1, from the beginning of the book. So the first two situations in which a noun is marfu'un is if it is the mubtada, the subject of the sentence, or the khabar, the information that you want to offer concerning that subject. The example they gave us, Allahu Akbaru. So the love, the jalala, Allah, this word Allah, is the mubtada. It's marfu'un, the sign of it being marfu'un is dhamma. Akbaru is the khabar, the predicate. The sign of it, and the khabar is always marfu'un, the sign of it being marfu'un, alamatu rafihi, dhamma. The third situation in which a noun is going to be marfu'un is ismu kana. Ismu kana. Okay, we saw from the akhwatu kana in book 2, lesson 2, we saw laysa. That's from akhwatu kana. So the rules that we studied in book 2, lesson 2, related to laysa, as being from the akhwatu kana, are the same rules that are applicable to kana. We saw further introduction to the verb kana in lesson 7 of book 2. And it's explained in detail in lesson 25 of book 2. So, whoever completed book 2, then we studied kana, ism kana and khabaru kana in detail in lesson 25 of book 2. We had this before, so you should know this. This is the third situation in which a noun is going to be marfu'un if it is the ism of kana. Example they gave, kana al-babu maftuhan. Kana al-babu maftuhan. So al-babu is the ism kana, is marfu'un, alamatu rafihi dhamma. Maftuhan is the khabar of kana, and the khabaru kana is mansubun. Sign of it being mansub is fatha. So in lesson 25 we discussed this in detail, that the kana is used with a jumla ismiya. And what was the mubtada becomes ism kana, it's marfu'un. And what was the khabar becomes khabaru kana, and it's mansubun. The details of this is in book 2, lesson 25. The fourth situation in which a noun is going to be marfu'un is the khabar of inna. And we had inna in book 2, lesson 1. Inna wa akhawatuha. We said that inna is used with a jumla ismiya. What was the mubtada becomes ism inna, and it's mansub. And what was the khabar become khabaru inna, and khabaru inna is marfu'un. So the fourth situation in which a noun is going to be marfu'un is if it's the khabar of inna. Ism inna is mansub, khabar of inna is marfu'un. They give us the example here, inna allaha ghafurun. Alright, so the love, the jalala, the word Allah is the ism of inna, is mansub, wa alamatu nasbihi fatha. And ghafurun is the khabar of inna. Khabar of inna is marfu'un. Sign of it being marfu'un is dhamma. Again, we had this in book 2, lesson 1. The fifth situation in which a noun will be marfu'un is if it is al-fa'ilu, the subject of the sentence, the doer of the action. We had this in book 2, lesson 5. Fa'il and maf'ulun bi. Lesson 5, book 2. Example they give us here. خَلَقَنَا اللَّهُ يعني Allah created us. So خَلَقَ is the fi'l. The pronoun na is the maf'ulun bi. And the lafz al-jalala, the word Allah, is the fa'il. Fa'il is marfu'un. Sign of being marfu'un is dhamma. So the fifth situation in which a noun is going to be marfu'un is if it is the fa'il of a jumla ismiya. We had this in book 2, lesson 5. The sixth situation, and these are the most important, the primary situations in which a noun is going to be marfu'un, is when it's the na'ib of the fa'il. The na'ib al-fa'il. And this we haven't taken yet. Rather, we're going to be studying it here in book 3, in this level 3, lesson number 3. Lesson number 3 of level 3. We're going to be taking this subject of yani the na'ib al-fa'il when we deal with the subject of the fi'l al-mabniyun lil-majhool. In lesson 3, we'll be taking this. Okay, so what is the na'ib fa'il? It's the subject of a verb in the passive voice. Yani when a verb is mabniyun lil-majhool, the fa'il is not mentioned. So what would have been the maf'ulun bi in that kind of sentence is going to be taking the place of the fa'il. We call it na'ib fa'il, substitute for the fa'il. So it's also marfu'un. The example they gave us, khuliqa al-insanu min teen. The human being has been created from dust, or from clay, or from soil. خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ مِنْ طِينٍ. So here, الْإِنسَانُ, because the fa'il, who created the human being, is not mentioned, so the what would have been the مَفْعُولٌ بِهِ now becomes the na'ib for the fa'il, taking the place of the fa'il. So now it becomes مَرْفُونَ with dhamma. We'll be studying this in lesson 3. So these are the main, most important situations in which a noun will be marfu'un. Again, most of this we've studied already, except the details of mubtada and khabar will be taken in lesson 11. And the matter of na'ib fa'il we haven't studied at all. We'll be taking that in lesson 3. Okay, now we go to the long list of nouns, the long list of nouns, situations in which nouns are mansoob. Al-mansoobat min al-asma'i. The mansoobat means the nouns that are mansoob. Nouns that are mansoob. Al-mansoobat min al-asma'. So here the author gives 11 situations in which a noun is going to be mansoob. A few of them we've studied before. Most of them we haven't studied before. Okay, so on this list of 11, the first one we've studied, the second one we've studied, the third one we've studied, and the 11th one we've studied. The rest of them we haven't studied. So most of what, or we may have seen something about them, but we haven't studied them in detail. Most of what we're going to see under the mansubat, yani the nouns, situations in which nouns are mansub, most of that we have not studied. So some of it we may be studying in this level 3. Most of it is going to be studied in level 4, in the second part of the Medina Book 3. Most of it is going to be studied in level 4. Okay, so what we're doing here is, and the author in this first chapter, what he's doing, he's summarizing what we've studied before and summarizing what we're going to be studying in the future in level 3 and 4. So he's given us an overview of what we've studied and what we're going to study. So if anything is unfamiliar here, it's probably because we haven't studied it before. If I say we have studied it and I give you a reference to Book 1 or Book 2, that means that you didn't remember it well, so you need to go back to that reference and refresh your memory. Again, most of what is covered under the mansubat, he gives 11 points here. Most of them we haven't studied before. All right, so mansubat min al-asma. Number one, ismu inna, yani the ism of inna. The example they gave, inna allaha ghafoorun. Inna is used in the jumla ismiyah, the mubtada and khabar now become ismu inna and khabaru inna. The ism of inna is mansoob. So we see the lafz al-jalala, the word Allah, is the ism of inna. It's mansoob, sign of it being mansoob is fatah. Ghafoorun is khabaru inna. Khabaru inna is marfoon, the sign of it being marfoon is dhamma. This we studied in Book 2, Lesson 1. Inna wa akhawatuha. The second situation in which a noun is mansoob is khabaru kana. Khabaru kana. The example they gave us, kana at-ta'amu ladhithan. The food was delicious. So here, again, kana is also used with the jumla ismiya. The mubtada becomes ismu kana, which is marfu'un, and the khabar becomes khabaru kana, which is mansoob. So this is the second case in which a noun is mansoob, if it's the khabar of kana, ladhithan in this case. Kana at-ta'amu ladhithan. Ta'amu is ism kana, marfu'un with dhamma, and ladhithan is khabaru kana, mansoob, walam tunasbihi fatha. The food was delicious, tasty. This we did study previously in Book 2, Lesson 25 in detail. We saw it in Lesson 7. We saw something related to it in Lesson 2 with Laysa from the Akhawatu Kana, but it's studied in Book 2, Lesson 25 in detail. The third situation in which a noun is mansub is al-maf'ulu bihi. Then when it's the object of the verb, al-maf'ulu bihi. The example they gave us, fahimtu ad-darsa. Fahimtu ad-darsa. Yani, I understood the lesson. So, fahima is the fi'l, tu is the fa'il, and ad-darsa is the maf'ulun bi. It's mansub, wa alamatu nasbihi fatha. This we studied previously in Book 2, in the beginning, in Lesson 5. Al-fa'il wal maf'ul. We studied in Lesson 5. Al-fa'il wal maf'ulun bi. Tayyib, now we go on to the remainder of these matters, that situations in which a noun is mansub, most of them we haven't studied at all, or we've only seen maybe, yani, some introduction to it, but we haven't actually studied in any detail. Except number 11. Number 11 we've studied previously, that was in Book 2, Lesson 9, the munada when it's mudaf. But the rest of them, from 4 through 10, we haven't studied before, not in any detail or not at all. So the fourth situation in which a noun is going to be mansub is if it is al-maf'ulu fihi. Al-maf'ul fihi. Yani, that means the maf'ul fihi is divided into two types. The dharf al-zaman and dharf al-makan. The adverb of time and the adverb of place. Zaman and makan. Both of them come under maf'ulun fi. So we have seen dharf al-makan. We didn't study it in any detail, but we had inda, we had ma'a, we had amama and khalfa. So these are words that come under maf'ulun fi. They are dharf al-makan. But the only thing we said in reference to those is that the dharf al-makan, the noun that follows it, is going to be mudafun ilayhi majrur. But the dharf itself, dharf al-makan, is from the mansubat, because it comes under maf'ulun fihi, the yani object that indicates the time or the place in which the action took place. Okay, so maf'ulun fihi includes adverb of time, dharf al-zaman, and adverb of place, dharf al-makan. And we saw this, yani some matters related to this, as I mentioned, even in Book 1 we saw inda and ma'a and amama. And in Book 2, we saw a little bit discussion of the word yawma as a maf'ulun fihi, yani the day in which something happened. So that is an indication of the time in which the action took place. That's a maf'ulun fihi, dharf al-zaman. We saw that in Book 2. In Lesson 12, and in the English key was point number 2. Book 2, Lesson 12, we saw something from maf'ulun fihi as well as what we saw in Book 1. But this subject of maf'ulun fihi is going to be studied in Level 3. We're going to study it in detail in Lesson 12. We're going to study it in detail in Lesson 12. Alright, so don't be too concerned about maf'ulun fihi. We're going to be taking this in detail during this Level 3 course. The fifth situation in which a noun is mansub is al-maf'ulu li-ajlihi. Al-maf'ulu li-ajlihi. This is also known as al-maf'ulu lahu. Al-maf'ulu li-ajlihi is also known as al-maf'ulu lahu. This is a noun that gives the reason for doing an action. And it tells you why the action was done. That's why it's called li-ajlihi, for what reason it was done. The example they gave us here is ma kharajtu min al-bayti khawfan min al-harri. Ma kharajtu min al-bayti, I didn't go out of the house. Why? What's the reason why I didn't go out of the house? Khawfan. So this word khawfan is a noun that gives us the reason for doing the action or not doing something. Khawfan min al-harri, out of fear of the heat. Okay, maf'ulun li-ajli, we're going to be studying in Level 4. Book 3, Lesson 29. Lesson 29. The sixth situation in which a noun is mansub is al-maf'ulu معه. المفعول معه. المفعول معه is the noun coming after the واو, which means along with. The واو that gives the meaning of مصاحبة. Something is done along with something else. Or المعية, the meaning of معية. So this واو, which has the meaning of along with, or beside, or at the time of, this واو, the واو of المعية or المصاحبة, يعني the word that comes after that واو is going to be the مفعول معه, because somebody did something along with, or beside, or at the time of something else, that thing that they did it along with it, or beside it, or at the time of, that's called the مفعول معه. مفعول معه. The example they gave us here is سافرت وبلالا. I traveled, I and Bilal. Meaning, I traveled with Bilal. I traveled along with Bilal, besides Bilal. Okay, سافرت, I traveled, وبلالا, along with or beside Bilal. So بلالا here is mansub because it's المفعول معه, the noun that comes after the واو, which means along with. I traveled along with بلالا. Another example that is commonly given is سرت والجبل. سرت والجبل. I went along with the mountain. يعني I traveled along with the mountain. Meaning I traveled alongside the mountain on the road. I walked beside the mountain, or I drove on the road beside the mountain. سرت والجبل. يعني الجبل comes after the واو that means along with. The واو of معية or مصاحبة. And so that noun which comes after this واو indicates that whatever was done along with or beside or at the time of that noun here, meaning the mountain. The mountain itself didn't travel, right? But I traveled along with or beside the mountain. This المفعول معه is not studied. We didn't study it before, and it won't be taken in level 3 or level 4. So, يعني, it's something that we'll look at another time. But in any case, يعني, this is the summary of what المفعول معه means. يعني, it is a noun that comes along with the واو, which means along with. And it's mansub, because يعني, it is the object that comes along with the one who did some action. المفعول معه. The seventh situation in which a noun is going to be mansub is المفعول المطلق. المفعول المطلق, the absolute object. يعني this مفعول مطلق is the masdar of the verb, the masdar, the infinitive of the verb, occurring in the same sentence as the verb itself. يعني the verb came with the meaning of the action, and then the masdar, يعني the masdar is a noun that has the meaning of action, but it doesn't have the indication of who does the action or the time of the action. So the masdar, which has the meaning of action, comes in the same sentence with the verb itself for emphasis. For emphasis. To emphasize that action, or the number, or the manner in which it was done. يعني the details of maf'ul mutlaq, we're going to study in level 4. Book 3, lesson 28. Book 3, lesson 28. The example they gave us for مفعول المطلق, يقرأ حامد قراءة جيدة. يعني حامد reads a good reading. He reads very well. جيدا, قراءة جيدا. So here the verb is قرأ, يقرأ, and the masdar is قراءة. So the masdar is mentioned to emphasize the meaning of the verb. يعني حامد read, يعني he read well, very well. I want to emphasize his reading well. So I say يقرأ حامد قراءة جيدة. قراءة جيدة. Another example of this that can help us to understand the مفعول المطلق, اذكر الله, remember Allah, ذكرا كثيرا, with much remembrance. So ذكرا is the masdar that's mentioned in the same sentence with the verb. اذكر الله, يعني ذِكْرًا كَثِيرًا, for emphasis. ذِكْرًا كَثِيرًا. Okay, again, this we haven't studied yet. It's going to be studied in level 4, book 3, lesson 28. The eighth situation in which a noun will be mansub is al-hal. Al-hal, yani, is adverb of manner. It's an adverb of manner. Just like we had the adverb of time and place, this is the adverb, yani, the adverb of time and place, it tells us the time or the place in which the action occurred. The adverb of manner, al-hal, tells us the manner, the condition, the state, yani, of the subject at the time of this action. What was the state, or the condition, or the manner in which it was done? So, the example they gave us for hal is, Jaddi yusalli qa'idan. My grandfather, he prays sitting. So, qa'idan here is the hal. It's the state of my grandfather. What state is he in? What condition is he in? What is his manner? Yani, what manner does he pray in? He prays sitting. He prays in a state of sitting. So this is his hal. What is his condition? What is his state? When he prays sitting. The adverb of manner. This we haven't studied. We're going to study it in level 4, book 3, lesson 31. Al-hal. The ninth situation in which a noun is going to be mansub is at-tamyiz. At-tamyiz is a noun that specifies or defines the meaning of a vague word. A word that is vague. It's not crystal clear. Okay? So it specifies the meaning of what is intended by the word. Tamyiz. Specification. The example they gave is, Ana akbaru minka sinnan. I am bigger than you in age. So if somebody didn't have sinnan in this sentence, if we didn't have sinnan, and somebody said, Ana akbaru minka, I am bigger than you. Yani, bigger than you physically in size, bigger than you in age, bigger than you in, yani, fame. What do they mean by akbar? I am bigger or greater than you. In terms of what? So this is vague, right? Bigger than you in what is vague. So to specify being bigger than you, what it is, in what way? The tamyiz comes, it specifies, yani, it's a noun that specifies the meaning of a vague word. So bigger, yani, in the sense of what? In age. Akbaru minka sinnan. We haven't studied this. We're going to study it in level 4, book 3, lesson 30. The tenth situation in which a noun is going to be mansub is al-mustathna. Al-mustathna. Yani, the exception. This is a noun that comes after illa. Like, la ilaha illa, illallah. And illa is the most common instrument of exception, but it's not the only one. Okay, so a noun that comes after illa or any other tool of exception, that means except. It means E-X-C-E-P-T, except. The example they gave us for al-mustathna, hadara at-tullabu kulluhum illa Hamidan, except Hamid. Yani, the students, all of the students, kulluhum, attended. They all came. Hadara at-tullab kulluhum. All of the students came. Illa Hamidan. So, the exception to all of the students coming, the exception is Hamid. So, Hamid, yani, we say this is al-mustathna, when something is accepted. Yani, from a general statement, and there's an exception to it. This word, yani, is going to be mansub. Again, this is a matter that we have not studied previously at all. We're going to study it in level 4, book 3, lesson 32. The 11th situation in which a noun is going to be mansub is al-munada al-mudaf. We're going to add the word mudaf because the munada, yani, is the one that's being called after ya nida. The original ruling of munada is that it's mabniun ala dhamma, single dhamma. But if it's mudaf, that's when it became mansub. So we say here at number 11, al-munada al-mudaf. Yani, when the munada is the mudaf of an idafa construction. The example they gave us, ya abdallahi. So here, abd is the munada, the noun that's coming after ya nida, and it's also mudaf to the love al jalala Allah. It's also mudaf. So it's munada mudaf. The munada mudaf is mansub. Is mansub. So this is the 11th situation in which a noun is going to be mansub, the munada mudaf. This is what something that we studied previously. We studied this in book 2, lesson 9. In the English key, it was point number 4. Alright, so quickly review what we took here under the mansubat. We said ism inna, khabaru kana, and maf'ulun bi, all of those we studied in book 2. After that, maf'ulun fihi, we didn't study. We're going to study it in detail in book 3, this level, lesson 12. Al-maf'ulun li-ajli, we're going to study in level 4, lesson 29. Al-maf'ul ma'ahu, we're not going to take in this course. Al-maf'ul al-mutlaq, we're going to study in level 4, lesson 28. Al-hal, we're going to study in level 4, lesson 31. At-tamyiz, we're going to study in level 4, lesson 30. And al-mustathna, we're going to study in level 4, lesson 32. Yani all of, level 4 is obviously in book 3, but it's the second half of book 3. That means it's from level 4. And al-munada we took in book 2, lesson 9. Okay, let's turn to page 16 and complete the situations in which nouns, the cases of nouns, yani here the situations in which a noun is going to be majrur, al-majrurat, yani two situations in which a noun is going to be majrur. The two primary situations in which a noun is going to be majrur is number one, al-mudafu ilayhi, al-mudaf ilayhi, yani the second part of an idafa construction. The example they gave us, al-Qur'anu kitabullahi. Al-Qur'an is the mubtada marfoon with dhamma, and kitab is the khabar marfoon with dhamma, and it's mudaf, and the lafz al-jalala, the word Allah, is mudaf ilayhi majrur. So here is an example of what? The second part of an idafa construction, we said it's called mudafun ilayhi, and it's going to always be majrur. The primary sign of a word that's majrur is kasra. This we studied previously in book 1, lesson 5. The second situation in which a noun is going to be majrur is al-masbuqu biharfi jarrin. Yani a word that has been preceded by harf jar, by preposition. The example they gave us, at-tullabu fil fasli. At-tullabu fil fasli. The students are in the classroom, or in the class. Here, at-tullabu is the mubtada marfu'un with dhamma, and fil fasli, yani the ja wal majrur, is the khabar. Is the khabar, harf ja fi, and al-fasli is ism majrur, yani it's the object of the preposition fi, therefore it's majrur, the sign of being majrur is kasra. So this also we studied previously in book 1, lesson 4. So, the two primary situations when a noun is going to automatically be majrur is when it's mudaf ilayhi, we studied that in book 1, lesson 5, and when it is the object of a preposition, we studied that in book 1, lesson 4. Okay, so these are the primary situations in which a noun is going to be marfu'un, mansub, or majrur. Now, there are some other situations in which a noun will be marfu'un, or mansub, or majrur, but that is due to a noun being dependent in its declension on a word that preceded it. This is called at-tawabi'u, at-tawabi'u. This means that the noun is it has dependent declension. Yani its i'rab is dependent upon a word that it shares the i'rab with. So there are four types of words like this that have dependent declension. Yani the singular form of this word is tabi'. So a word that's a tabi', it means that it shares the i'rab of the word that it follows, that it's subject to, that it's connected to. Okay? So they said here The tabi'u, at-tabi'u huwa al-ismu al-mushariku lima qablahu fi i'rabihi mutlaqan. وهو على أربعة أنواع: النعت، التوكيد، العطف، والبدل. The تابع it is a noun. الاسم المشارك لما قبله في إعرابه مطلقا. It's a noun that is associated with or shares what is before it. It shares the إعراب of what is before it في إعرابه. Okay, so it takes its i'rab from something that's before it. Mutlaqan, absolutely. Yani, if it's one of these types of four types of words, it takes the i'rab of the word that it's associated with. وَهُوَ عَلَى أَرْبَعَةِ أَنْوَاعٍ. There are four types. النَّعْت, the adjective. التوكيد, yani the emphasis. العَطْفُ, yani the conjunction, and al-badalu, the substitute. So each of them we're going to look at individually. Some of this we've studied before, some of it we have not. Okay, so these are the tawabiyah. These are the extra situations in which a noun might be marfoon or mansoob or majroor, even though it's not included in what we looked at previously. For example, there are two primary situations in which a noun is going to be majroor. That's if it's mudhafu ilayhi or it's the object of a preposition. But a noun might also be majroor if it's a na'at, because the na'at has to agree with the man'oot, or if it's tawkeed, it has to agree with the mu'akkad, or if it is, yani, al-'atf, yani if it is ma'atuf, it has to agree with the ma'atuf alayhi, and if it's a badal, it has to agree with the mubdal minhu. Naam. So let's look at each of them separately. The na'at first. The na'at is an adjective. This is something we studied in book 1 in some detail. Book 1, lesson 9. And we pretty much covered the na'at in book 1, lesson 9. So everybody should know the na'at. We're going to have further details of the na'at. I mean, we did have further details of the na'at in book 2, lesson 31. In book 2, lesson 31. So the na'at we have completed, yani we have completely studied it. We studied it in book 1, we studied it in book 2. It's an adjective. The word that is describing or qualifying is called the man'oot. So there's the na'at and there's the man'oot. In some books they call it as-sifa and al-mawsoof. Alright, so what do we say here? The na'at is marfu'un. When the na'at can be marfu'un. As the, in the example, أَحَضَرَ الطَّالِبُ الْجَدِيدُ. Did the new student attend or arrive? Yani here, al-jadidu is a na'at for al-talibu. Therefore, it has to follow it in i'rab. Al-talibu here is the fa'il marfu'un with dhamma. So the na'at describing it has to also be marfu'un with dhamma. Na'at can also be mansub, as in yatlubu al-mudiru al-taliba al-jadida. Yani the mudir is requesting the new student. Here in this sentence, yatlubu is the fi'l, al-mudiru is the fa'il marfu'un, wa lamtu rafihi dhamma, and al-taliba is the maf'ulun bi, it's mansub, the sign of it being mansub is fatha, al-jadida is a na'at for al-taliba, therefore it also has to be mansub with fatha. The na'at can also be majroor, as in, hadha daftaru al-talibi al-jadidi, this is the notebook of the new student. In this sentence, daftaru, yani is the khabar marfu'un with dhamma, and al-talibu is mudawfun ilayhi majroor, wa alamatu jarrihi kasra, al-jadid is a na'at describing al-talibi, therefore it also has to be majroor with kasra. So what we're saying here is the na'at can be marfu'un, mansub, or majroor depending on the man'oot. It has to agree with the man'oot, and we discussed this in detail in four matters, and one of them is in i'rab. The second type of the tawabi' is at-tawkeed, which is also sometimes referred to as at-ta'keed. Ta, hamza, kaf, ya, dal. At-ta'keed. At-tawkeed or at-ta'keed. Yani, which is the word of emphasis. Okay, we studied at-ta'kid in book 2, lesson 18, in the English key, point number 3. Book 2, lesson 18. At-ta'kid is used for emphasis, and they are different common words that are used for emphasis. They give us two of them, kullu and nafsu. So, the tawkid or ta'kid can be marfoon, as in hadara at-tullabu kulluhum. Yani, the tawkid here is the word kullu. And it's connected to the word that it's emphasizing by a pronoun that refers to that word. So hum, the pronoun hum, is referring back to the mu'akkad, at-tullab. Kullu is the tawkid, and at-tullabu is the word that's being emphasized. Yani, al-mu'akkadu. Al-mu'akkadu is the word that's being emphasized. Kullu is the word of emphasis. So we say, hadara at-tullabu kulluhum. Here, hadra is the fi'l, at-tullabu is the fa'il marfu'un, wa lam turafihi dhamma, and kullu is the tawkid, that's emphasizing the students. Came, all of them. Hadra at-tullab, kulluhum, all of them. And the tawkid should have a pronoun that refers back to the mu'akkad. Mu'akkad here, at-tullab, is plural and it's masculine, so the pronoun is plural, masculine, third person. Another example of marfu'un, قَالَ لِي هَذَا الْمُدِيرُ قَالَ لِي هَذَا الْمُدِيرُ نَفْسُهُ Yani, the mudir, the principal, nafsuhu, himself, he said this to me. قَالَ لِي هَذَا He said this to me. Who said this to me? الْمُدِيرُ نَفْسُهُ So here, الْمُدِيرُ Yani, is the fa'il of قَالَ Is the fa'il marfu'un with dhamma The sign of it being, and it's the fa'il marfu'un, the sign of it being marfu'un is dhamma. And so the tawkid that's emphasizing al-mudir himself, nafsu, has to also be marfu'un with dhamma. And it has the pronoun that connects it back to al-mudir, which is third person, masculine, singular. So we have the third person, masculine, singular pronoun, who. The tawkid can also be mansub, as in sa'altu at-tullaba. Kullahum, kullahum. And I asked the students, all of them. Here, tulab is the maf'ulun bi mansub, wa lam tunasbihi fatha. So the tawkid that's emphasizing the students, all of them, has to also be mansub with fatha, and it has a pronoun referring back to at-tulab, which is third person, masculine, singular, pronoun hum, because, yani, it's talking about the students, they are masculine and they are plural. Another example with nafs, سَأَلْتُ الْمُدِيرَ نَفْسَهُ I asked the principal himself. So nafsa is the tawkid emphasizing al-mudir. It has a pronoun that refers to, back to al-mudir, third person, masculine singular pronoun, who. In this sentence, سَأَلَ is the fi'l, tu is the fa'il, al-mudir is the maf'ulun bi, mansub, وَلَمْ تُنَصْبِهِ fatha. So nafs also has to follow it in i'rab, nafsa, mansub, with fatha. The tawkid can also be majrur, as in sa'altu, sallamtu, ala at-tullabi kullihim. I gave salams upon the students, all of them. The students, all of them. So, at-tullab is the ism majrur, the object of the preposition ala. And kulli is emphasizing at-tulab, all of the students. It has a pronoun hum, which is third person, masculine, plural, referring back to at-tulab. Because it's plural, it's masculine, we're talking about them third person. So again, at-tulab is majrur, so kulli has to follow it in i'rab. It's a tabi, it has to follow the word that precedes it. And the last example, sallamtu ala al-mudiri nafsihi, I gave salams to the principal himself. So al-mudiri is the object of the preposition, it's majrur with kasra, and nafsi is the tawkid, emphasizing the mudir himself was the one that I gave salams to. So it also has to follow it in i'rab, nafsi, yani majrur with kasra. After this, let's go to page 17. The third type of tabir is al-atfu, al-atfu, yani when we have a conjunction. And the particles of atf are many. The most common of them is what we're going to see in these sentences here. That is while, there's also fa, there's thumma, and so on. And all of them, the rule is the same for them. So al-atfu, yani we have a word that is going to be connected by a particle of atf, a conjunction. So this noun is called the ma'atuf. Yani it's connected to something before, the ma'atuf alayhi. Here we see that the word that is ma'atuf, yani connected by a conjunction, the atf, the word that's ma'atuf, can be marfu'un, mansub, or majrur, and they give us three examples. For marfu'un, kharaja hamidun wa. This is the atf. Wa wal atf. Kharaja hamidun wa sadiquhu. Hamid and his sadiq, his friend, went out. So here we have kharaja hamidun. Hamidun is the fa'il marfu'un with dhamma. And then we have wa wal atf. And sadiqu is ma'atuf. It is connected by atf to Hamid. So it has to agree with it. In I'rab, Hamidun is marfu'un with dhamma. So sadiqu has to also follow it in I'rab, marfu'un with dhamma. Who is a possessive pronoun? It's connected to sadiqu in idafa. So we say that it is yani mudaf ilayhi, but it's a pronoun. It's mabniun fi mahalli jar, in the place where it should be majrur, mudafun ilayhi. Example of mansub, talaba al-mudiru hamidan wa sadiqahu. Hamidan wa sadiqahu. The mudir requested Hamid and his friend. In this sentence, talaba is the fi'l, al-mudiru is the fa'il marfu'un with dhamma, and hamidan is maf'ulun bihi mansub with fatha. Mansub with fatha. Waw al-atf, sadiqa is ma'atuf. Is ma'atuf, connected to hamidan, so it has to agree with an i'rab. It's mansub with fatha. And again, the pronoun who is mudaf ilayhi, yani mabniun fi mahalli jar. Al-majrur, ayna kutubu hamidin wa sadiqihi. Ayna kutubu hamidin wa sadiqihi. Where are the books of Hamid and his friend? So in this sentence, Hamid is mudafun to kutub, mudaf ilayhi. Mudaf ilayhi majrur, waw al-atf, sadiqi is ma'atuf. It's connected by waw al-atf to Hamid, so it also has to agree with it in i'rab and be majrur. So we have sadiqi, sadiqihi. So these are examples of the word that's connected by a conjunction, atf. The word that is connected by a conjunction to another word has to agree with it. Yani mutlaqan, absolutely in i'rab. The last type of word that is going to be yani following another word, its i'rab is dependent on another word that it shares the i'rab with, is the bedel. Okay, the bedel, we have seen something of it in book 1, lesson 8. We saw the ism ishara followed by a noun with alif lam, that noun with alif lam is a bedel. That's one type of bedel. That's bedel al-kull al-kull. Yani that's when something, the exact same thing, yani is mentioned as a substitute for something that preceded it. So the ism ishara, what it refers to, the noun with alif lam coming after refers to the exact same thing. So it is a bedel. It can be substituted for. We said that this bedel has to have the same i'rab as the word that is the ism ishara that is connected to, the mubdal minhu. We saw that in book 1, lesson 8. And we saw another, the same type of bedel, but with a different type of word instead of ism ishara. We saw the proper noun being used as a bedel in book 2, lesson 16. Book 2, lesson 16, in the English key point number 7, we saw another type of yani the bedel that's substituting for the exact same thing. So they gave us both examples here that we had in book 1, lesson 8, and that we had in book 2, lesson 16. Yani the first example for marfu'un, anajaha akhuka hashimun. Did your brother Hashim succeed? Did he pass? So here, yani akhu is the fa'il of najaha. So it's marfu'un. The sign of being marfu'un is waw because it's from asma al-khamsa. That's a secondary sign. But أخوك, when you say نجح أخوك, Hashim is the name of your brother. So it's a bedel that is referring back to the exact same thing. Instead of ism ishara, this is يعني a proper noun as a bedel. يعني أخوك Hashim. So أخوك is definite. Your brother, his name is Hashim. Hashim here, the proper noun is a bedel. Another form of this type of bedel we had in book one is يعني the ism ishara with the noun followed by alif, noun with alif lam. أَنَجَحَ هَذَا الطَّالِبُ. أَنَجَحَ هَذَا, did this one that I'm pointing to, did he pass? الطَّالِبُ, يعني with alif lam, is the bedel. هَذَا الطَّالِبُ, this student. Did this student pass? يعني, so the bedel mean it can be exchanged for it. So we see here the bedel here with the exact same thing is referred to, but by a different word. هذا, what I'm pointing to when I say هذا is the same thing I mean when I say الطالب. When I'm talking about أخوك, the same thing I'm talking about when I say هاشم, that's the name of أخوك, your brother. All right, when it's منسوب, we see the same thing, both types. أعرف أخوك هاشما. Here in this sentence, أخوك is the مفعول به منسوب. The sign that is منسوب is ألف. Secondary sign, because it's from Asma al-Khamsa and it's an idafa to other than Ya al-Mutakallim. So, Akhaka, your brother, is substituted by the Bedel Hashiman, that's his name. It's a Bedel, yani a proper noun that means referring back to the same thing. A'rifu hadha al-Taliba, yani in this sentence, hadha is the maf'ulun bi, it's a ism ishara, so it's mabniyun in the place where it should be. Mansub, the bedel for it, at taliba, is going to have the same i'rab, yani mansub with fatah. When the bedel is majroor, aina ghurfatu akhika hashimin, where's the room of your brother Hashim? In this sentence, akhi is mudaf ilayhi for ghurfa. As mudaf ilayhi is majroor, the sign of being majroor is ya, because it's a secondary sign for asma al-khamsa when they are an idafa to other than ya al-mutakallim. Hashim is the name of akhika, the proper noun. It's a bedel for akhika. It's a bedel. So it has to take the same i'rab of akhi, which is majroor, so it also is majroor with kasra. So the bedel Hashim in this case has the same ruling as al-mubdal minhu, the word that it can be substituted for. And in the last example, you gave ayna ghurfatu hadha at-talibi, where's the room of this student? In this sentence, hadha is mudaf ilayhi for ghurfa. As mudaf ilayhi, it's in the position where it should be majroor, but it is ism ishara, so we say it is mabniyun fi mahalli jar. A talib is the bedel for it, therefore it has to have the same irab and being majroor with kasra. So hadha, the mubdal minhu, is in the place where it should be majroor, so the bedel has to also be majroor. These are the four types of tawabi', yani the situation in which a noun shares the declension, the irab, of the word that it's associated with, the word before it that is associated with it. There are four types of nouns that have this, yani, associated declension. It doesn't have a declension, independent declension of its own. It has dependent declension, that is the not, has to agree with the man'ut. The tawkid has to agree with the mu'akkad. The ma'atuf has to agree with the ma'atuf alayhi, and the bedel has to agree with the mubdal minhu. Okay, so this is the end of what we wanted to cover in terms of nouns. The mu'rab and the mabniyu from nouns. And now the last part of this lesson is dealing with verbs. As we mentioned, and it's a brief part of the lesson, we don't actually have a lot of time remaining. Allahu musta'an. Let's see any how much of it we can cover. We're on page 17 of the Arabic text for lesson number 1, Medina book 3. Second half of the page, باء في الأفعال. المعرب والمبني من الأفعال. يعني nouns which are معرب ومبني. معرب, the endings change. مبني, the endings are fixed. These, we're going to be looking at the halat of the verbs, case endings of verbs. الفعل الماضي وفعل الأمر مبنيان. Both the past tense verb and the command, imperative form of the verb, are both مبنيون. So in terms of verbs, past tense verbs are all مبنيون. And imperative command form verbs are all مبنيون. As far as the past tense verb, we studied that in book 2, lessons 4 through 8. As far as the فعل أمر, imperative form of the verb, we studied that in book 2, lesson 14. These two types of verbs are مبنيون. The third type of verb is the مضارع verb. And we said we're saying here, الفعل المضارع معرب. So the فعل ماضي is مبني. The فعل أمر is مبني. The فعل مضارع is معرب. إلا إذا اتصلت به نون النسوة فتكون مبنيا. Unless it is connected to نون النسوة. When we studied the مضارع verbs in lessons 10 through 13 of book 2. We studied the مضارع verb in book 2. Lessons 10, 11, 12, and 13. We learned there that the فاعل, the third, second and third person, feminine, plural, نون النسوة, فاعل, when it's connected to a مضارع verb, we said that مضارع verb is مبنيٌ. Okay, whenever نون النسوة is connected to a مضارع verb, it makes it مبنيٌ. So the مضارع verb, unlike the past and the imperative form of the verb, the مضارع verb is معرب. Its ending changes unless it's connected to نون and نسوة. And then there's a footnote here. Just says, likewise, the مضارع verb is also مبنيون if there's نون التوكيد directly connected to it. نون التوكيد, I think we're going to study that in the end of this course. Maybe it comes in level 4. So we're not concerned about that right now, but let's give some examples of the مضارع verb. Okay, let's see. It says here on page 18, examples of the مضارع verb being معرب. أفهم هذا الدرس. I understand this lesson. So here the مضارع verb أفهم is مرفوع, and the sign of it being مرفوع is ضم. The second case, أريد أن أفهم هذا الدرس. I want to understand this lesson. Here the مضارع verb أفهم is منصوب. The sign of it being منصوب is فتح. And the third case, لم أفهم هذا الدرس. I didn't understand this lesson. Here the مضارع verb أفهم with سكون is مجزوم. And the sign of it being مجزوم is سكون. From this we can understand that the primary signs for the مضارع verb, يعني its حالات, is when it's مرفوع, it takes ضمة. أفهم. When it's منصوب, أن أفهم, it takes فتح. When it's مجزوم, لم أفهم, it takes سكون as a sign of it being مجزوم. So after these three examples, they said علامات الإعراب الأصلية والفرعية. All of this that we're talking about now, we're only talking about everything from here on. It's talking about مضارع verbs. We already said that the ماضي verb is مبنيون. And we already said that the فعل أمر is مبنيون. So the only thing that we're talking about here is مضارع verbs. The sign of إعراب, أصلية and فرعية, the primary and secondary signs of إعراب for the مضارع verb. علامات الإعراب في المضارع ثلاث. The signs of إعراب in the مضارع verb are three. وهي الضمة وهي علامة الرف. يعني the signs of إعراب of the مضارع verb are three. The first of them is الضمة, and it is the sign of رف when it's مرفوع. The second of them is الفتحة وهي علامة النصب. علامة النصب. And the فتحة is the علامة of it being منصوب. As we saw, أريد أن أفهم. The third sign of the مضارع verb for إعراب is السكون وهي علامة الجزم. And it is the sign of the mudari verb being majzum. Alamatu al-jazmi. As we saw, lam afham. Lam afham. It's majzum. Alamatu jazmihi sukoon. So the signs of i'rab for the mudari verb are dhamma, fatha, and sukoon. Yani in nouns we said the primary signs of i'rab are dhamma, fatha, and kasra. But here we have dhamma, fatha, and sukoon because in nouns we have marfoon, mansoob, and majroor. But in verbs we have yani marfoon, mansoob, and majzoom. So the sign of a mudari verb being majzoom, primary sign is sukoon. Then they said, هناك علامات أخرى فرعية. So there are other signs which are فرعية, secondary signs of إعراب for the mudari verb. وهي في الأنواع الآتية من الفعل. And these secondary signs are in the following types of verb, yani mudari verb. We're only talking about the mudari verb, okay? So the secondary signs in the mudari verb are only in two situations that have secondary signs. So in the mudari verb, its signs of i'rab are going to be dhamma, fatha, and sukoon. It's only going to have a secondary sign in two cases. The first case is al-af'al al-khamsatu, the five forms. Yani, the second and third person, duals, the second and third person, masculine plurals, and the second person, feminine singular. Okay, so for the duals we mean, the second and third person duals we mean, huma yaf'alani, it has a noon at the end. Antuma taf'alani, it has a noon at the end. The second and third person, masculine plurals, hum yaf'aluna, has a noon at the end. Antum taf'aluna, it has a noon at the end. These are examples that we just given, just to remind you of what are the yani second and third person masculine plurals and the second and third person duals. As far as the second person feminine singular, it is anti taf'alina. For example, all of these have in common is that they have an extra noon at the end after the waw al-jama'ah or after the alif al-ithnain or after the ya al-mukhatabah. They have that extra noon. So this type of verb, al-af'al al-khamsa, that have this extra noon on the second and third person masculine plural forms of the mudari verb, and the second and third person duals of the mudari verb, and the second person feminine singular of the mudari verb, these five types of verbs are called al-af'al al-khamsa. They have a secondary sign when they are marfu'un. علامة الرفع فيها ثبوت النون. When they are marfoon, the sign of being marfoon is ثبوت النون. It's not dhamma. It's the noon being present. وعلامة نصب والجزم حذف النون. And the sign when they are mansoob or majzoom is the حذف of the noon, the removal, the deletion, the omission of the noon. So the أفعال الخمسة, they have a secondary sign. When they are marfoon instead of dhamma, they have ثبوت النون. And when they are mansoob or majzoom, they have hadhaf al-noon. So that's a secondary sign, yani for af'al al-khamsa. The other case in which there's a secondary sign in mudari verbs is for the fi'l naqis. The fi'l naqis. I think we had fi'l naqis in book 2, lesson 28. Fi'l naqis. 26, 27, 28. Yeah, 26 was the mithal, 27 was the ajwaf, and 28 is the naqis. So the fi'l naqis, علامة الجزم فيه حذف آخره. I'm going ahead because they did give some examples for the أفعال الخمسة. They gave us examples. Now, they gave us the example of أتريدون أن تذهبوا. Here we see أتريدون is مرفوعٌ. The sign of being مرفوعٌ is ثبوت النون. أن تذهبوا. Yani here, the tadhabu is mansoob because of n. Sign of it being mansoob is hadhf and noon. Then they gave us, alam tadhabi ila al-madrasati ya maryamu. Did you not go to school, O Maryam? Here, yani tadhabi is majzoom because of lam. Originally it is tadhabina. The sign of it being majzoom is hadhf and noon. Just as the sign of tadhhabu in the previous sentence, aturiduna and tadhhabu, the sign of being mansub is hadf and noon. It is originally tadhhabuna. So we see that the af'al al-khamsa, when they are mansub, they lose their noon. When they are majzoom, they lose their noon. When they are marfoon, the noon is in place. Okay, now we'll go to the second situation where there's a secondary sign, fi'l naqis. The sign, the secondary sign is only when it is majzoom. When it is majzoom, the secondary sign, remember we said the primary sign of a verb, of a mudari verb when it's majzoom is sukoon. But the fi'l naqis, yani meaning it has a weak letter on the last letter, on the third radical, that type of verb, it has a secondary sign for jazm. Instead of sukoon, it is hadf akhirihi, yani the omission of the end of it. The last radical, the third root letter, is removed. That's the sign of it being majzoom. We had this when we did the mudha'af verbs in Book 2, Lesson 28. Book 2, Lesson 28. And by the way, the af'al al-khamsa and the secondary signs of it being yani marfoon with thubut an-noon and mansub and majzoom with hadf an-noon, we studied that in Book 2, Lesson 21. Book 2, Lesson 21, af'al al-khamsa, yani the secondary sign of thubut an-noon and hadf an-noon. As far as the secondary sign of jazm for fi'l naqis, we studied that in the lesson dealing with the fi'l naqis, Book 2, Lesson 28. The examples they gave us of that is lam yamshi. Yani originally the verb masha yamshi with a ya on the end. Masha yamshi. When it became majzoom, the ya elongating the kasra is omitted. Lam yada'u from the verb da'a yada'u. It has a wow. But when it became majzoom, lam yada'u, it loses the last letter. Hadfu akhirihi, the wow. And the same thing with nasiya yansa. It has alif maksura on the end, but when it's majzoom, lam yansa, it loses its alif. So the last letter, the last root letter in the mudari verb of the naqis, when it's majzoom, we omit the last letter. From yamshi, it becomes lam yamshi. From yada'u, it becomes lam yada'u. And from yansa, it becomes lam yansa. So that is for the secondary signs. Af'al al-khamsa has a secondary sign when it's marfoon, it's thubut an-noon. When it's mansub or majzoom, it's hadf an-noon. The fi'l naqis, it has a secondary sign when it is majzoom, the omission of its last letter. The other matter that remains, and we don't really have much time left, a few minutes. The other matter that remains, maybe we'll cover the I'rab taqdiri and we'll do the questions yani in the first part of the next session. I'rab al-taqdiri in the fi'l mudari is in three cases. I'rab al-taqdiri, yani estimated, yani where the sign of I'rab does not appear. There are three cases. The first case is alamatul raf fil fi'l al-naqis, also the fi'l naqis. Alamatul raf fil fi'l al-naqis. Yani the fi'l naqis in the four forms of the verb, yani amshi, namshi, tamshi, and yamshi, those forms of the mudari for the fi'l naqis, when it is marfu'un, you don't see the dhamma. You don't say amshi you. You say amshi, namshi, not namshi you. Tamshi, not tamshi you. Alright, so amshi, namshi, yamshi, tamshi. We see that in these forms of the fi'l naqis, when it's marfu'un, we don't see the dhamma. So, for example, we say yamshi, yada'u, yansa. In each of these cases, yani we see that the sign of it being marfu'un is dhamma muqaddara. So this is a taqdiri i'rab for the fi'l naqis in these forms of the verb. Ana, nahnu, anta, hiya. Naam. Anta and hiya and ana and huwa. Huwa yamshi. In these forms of the verb, when the fi'l naqis is marfu'un, we don't see the dhamma. It's dhamma muqaddara. The second case is also for the fi'l naqis. the sign of it being nasb. The sign of nasb. Alamatu nasb fil fi'l naqis al maftu al ayn. This is not every fi'l naqis, but the fi'l naqis that has a fatha on the ayn, yani the second radical. It has a fatha that's followed by alif maksura, as in nasiya yansa, ana ansa, huwa yansa, hiya tansa, nahnu nansa. Yani this type of naqis verb that has alif maksura on the end of it, preceded by fatha, the sign of nasb, which should be a fatha, we don't see it. Because alif maksura is a letter, it's not a consonant, it doesn't take a vowel, so we can't see the sign of nasb fatha. But in other forms of the fi'l naqis, when it's mansub, like in da'a yad'u, we can see the sign of nasb fatha. Like in masha yamshi, yani if it ends with waw or ya, we can see the sign of nasb. When it ends with alif maksura, we can't see the sign of nasb. Fa'alamatu nasb fil fi'l naqis al maftuh al ayn, meaning that the ayn, the middle radical preceding alif maksura, has a fatha. So it's fatha followed by alif maksura. In that case, the sign of nasb, which should be a fatha on top of that alif maksura, we don't see it, so we say it is fatha muqaddara. And the third case, in which there is a taqdiri i'rab for mudari verbs, is alamatu jazm fil fi'l al-mudha'af. In the mudha'af verb, which we studied in Book 2, Lesson 29, when it is majzum, the sign of it being majzum, original sign of jazm, is sukoon. But when the mudha'af verb, since the last two letters are the same letter, when it became majzum, the second letter already had sukoon. Now the third letter, if it takes sukoon, we have iltiqa'i sakinain. To eliminate that, the third letter, the final letter, they put a fatha on it instead of sukoon to eliminate iltiqa'i sakinain. In that case, we say that the sign of jazm is sukoon muqaddarun. Sukoon muqaddarun. Yani the sukoon that is estimated, latent. It doesn't appear. Instead, a fatha is taking its place to eliminate iltiqa'i sakinain. The example they gave for this is lam ahujja. فَأَلَامَةُ جَزْمِهِ سُكُون مُقَدَّرٌ لَمْ أَحُجَّ. Yani originally it is أَنَا أَحُجُّ. So the first jim has sukoon and the second jim has dhamma. If it was mansub, you would say لَنْ أَحُجَّ. Yani it would take fatha because fatha is the sign of nasb. But when it's majzum, it's supposed to take sukoon. So it's supposed to be لَمْ أَحُجَّ. The first jim, the second radical, has sukoon, and now because it's majzum, the last letter is supposed to also take sukoon, in which case, yani we have jim with sukoon, followed by jim with sukoon, iltiqa'i sakinain. To eliminate that, the last jim takes a fatha in place of sukoon. So we say, in terms of the i'rab of the mudha'af verb, when it's majzum, we say that it's majzum, وَلَامَةُ جَزْمِهِ سُكُون مُقَدَّرٌ. سُكُون مُقَدَّرٌ. Alright, so again, the takdiri i'rab is in three cases, and we're at the end of our time. It is the naqis verb when it is marfu'un for ana, nahnu, anta, huwa, and hiya. Yani when it is marfu'un for those forms of the verb, those pronouns, we don't see the dhamma. We say amshi, namshi, tamshi. يَدْعُوا تَدْعُوا أَدْعُوا يَنْسَى يعني تَنْسَى أَنْسَى نَنْسَى. We don't see the dhamma. So the takdiri i'rab here is dhamma muqaddara. And alamatu nasb in the fi'l naqis, only when the that fi'l naqis is ending with ya, I mean alif maksura, preceded by fatha. In that case, when it's mansub, we can't see the fatha, so we say it is يعني فتى مقدرة. And the مضاعف verb when it's مجزوم, we say it is يعني سكون مقدر. As far as the questions 1 through 7, inshallah we'll give you one more chance to do them. If you haven't done them yet, we'll do them بإذن الله تعالى in the next session with the new lesson. The new lesson being lesson 2. Next week, inshallah, we'll be taking lesson 2. There are lots of points in that lesson, but they are not difficult points, so don't be overwhelmed by it. We'll take it little by little. But the first part of the session next week, we'll do the answers to the questions from this lesson, questions 1 through 7. So that will be sort of a review of what we covered in terms of verbs, especially, and other, definitely related to verbs, the ma'rab and mabniyun of verbs, and the secondary signs, which are in 2 cases, and the takdir, the i'rabi takdir, which is in 3 cases. We'll do those questions in the beginning of the next session, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, as we begin a new lesson number 2. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for myself and for each of you that He grant us success in doing the things that are pleasing to Him for His sake alone in accordance with the Sunnah, and that He recognize, record, and reward our good deeds, that He overlook and pardon our shortcomings, and that He keep us firm ala sirat al-mustaqim until we return to Him in a condition of being pleased with Him and pleasing to him. Ameen.